Our next speaker will be Erica Peters. Erica Peters, PhD, is an independent scholar and director of the Culinary Historians of Northern California. She's the author of Appetites and Aspirations in Vietnam, Food and Drink in the Long 19th Century, and more recently, San Francisco, a Food Biography. She is also the co-editor of last spring's special issue of French Historical Studies on Food and French History with her co-editor, Bert Gordon. And today, Erica Peters will be speaking to us on the subject of a Vietnamese soup in France, from soup Tonkin Roz to soup national. Please welcome Erica.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you, everyone. Welcome. It was actually, the title was supposed to be Pho in France, but I was nervous about how the diacritical would show up in the program, so I changed it to soup. And that's an issue that I'll be coming back to during the presentation. So I'm trying to ask how Pho became a symbol of Vietnam in the post-colonial period, particularly in France. Pho isn't like Pad Thai, which was pretty much imposed as the Thai national dish by the military leader, Phu Bon, in the 1940s. Nobody officially announced that Pho was going to stand for Vietnam, but the soup that grew out of the colonial moment came to be seen as quintessentially Vietnamese, and the creativity and resourcefulness that went into inventing it, that ends up forgotten, especially in France. So Pho is not essentially Vietnamese going back thousands of years. Pho emerged about 100 years ago, towards the beginning of the 20th century, somewhere around Hanoi. Like most street foods, there's no record of the first time that somebody made a broth with scraps of beef and some flat rice noodles, which in Vietnamese, that's what's called ban pho, the noodles. And that gives its name to the soup. Cantonese immigrants, soup vendors working in Hanoi and Saigon, had offered many kinds of soups in the 19th century, but they weren't based on a beef broth. Beef wasn't common in either Vietnamese or Chinese cooking. The French liked beef. They brought cows from India, who could survive in the Southeast Asian climate, so French consumption of beef during the colonial period meant that there were bones and other scraps of meat newly brought to Vietnam, newly in Vietnam, and those were available for the soup pot. By 1919, a French author in Hanoi named Jean Marquet heard Yoc Pho, like the street vendor, called out by a Vietnamese street vendor who was offering a new beef noodle soup in competition against Chinese vendors of chicken soup or duck soup. Marquet's novel was about Vietnamese urbanization and radicalism, so that gives us a sense of Pho's place in the world. It was urban, it was radically new, and it was specifically Vietnamese. This novel that he wrote, Du Village à la Cité, in 1919, that may in fact be the earliest time in print that anyone labeled Pho a uniquely Vietnamese dish and noticed that it was created at a particular moment in time. Naming Pho has been a really hard problem for the French. In 1919, it was actually spelled out P-H-E-U in that novel I mentioned. Pho, P-H-E-U. In 1927, a different French author wrote about it as pho, spelling it P-H-O and then another O with a circumflex, even though there was earlier evidence that it was already pho, and I think it has always been pho to the Vietnamese. French mispronunciation of the soup as pho continues even today, along with puns on the homonym pho in French. In June of 2000, Figaro described the Parisian restaurant Pho 14 as serving le plat national vietnamien au cœur de l'authentique, autant dire qu'on a raison d'avoir tout faux. P-H-O. Lots of these puns. Apparently one is right to be wrong, the soup has left the colony, and we can call it whatever we like. Some French people have tried to get the actual pho pronunciation to stick by suggesting that the soup is derived from pot-au-feu, so you should say pho because pot-au-feu. But so far they haven't managed to make that really stick. There's still a tendency among French people, because they see the pho on the signs, to call it pho. The question of who's responsible for creating pho is also has a controversy that goes back a long way. In 1950, an article on La Gastronomie Vietnamienne in the journal Sud-Est Asiatique said that people in northern Vietnam liked this soup, which was une sorte de soupe chinoise, mais avec des nouilles de riz, du bouillon, et de la viande de bœuf. So it's a Chinese soup, basically, except for the ways in which it's completely different from Chinese soups. The same article said that you could find the soup in southern Vietnam, too, but it wasn't as common there. This is 1950. And the article described how the noodles themselves, the pho noodles, gave their name to the soup and also to a stir-fried dry noodle dish called pho sao, which is actually similar to pad thai as it happens. Pho became wildly popular in the south after the northerners moved down in 1954, following the Geneva Accords. At that point, it became a complicated symbol of the Vietnamese nation, which was now divided in two. In 1957, a prominent northern Vietnamese essayist named Minh Thuan wrote a notorious essay on pho, which he published in the North. He had a new literary journal. This was one of the first essays that he published in the journal. Communist Party officials had just admitted some serious missteps regarding the land reform movement that they'd put in. They looked vulnerable. So he seized this opportunity to prod the government, even though he was supposedly only talking about pho. He spent most of his piece talking about how accessible pho is to everybody in all its many delightful variations, but he went on to mention that some people in northern Vietnam could not afford meat in their pho, which was a not very subtle criticism of the government for not providing enough resources to take care of the population. In a similar vein, he wondered what pho would be like if people had to start making it with rat meat. And he contrasted that with the innovative ways that some rich people, even under colonialism, rich people even under communism.
I always get them confused.
in North Vietnam then. How these rich people were enjoying pho, made with duck, made with pork, made with five spice or sesame seeds, not with rat. And Minh Thuan joked that the country seemed to be relying so much on industrial foods imported from the Soviet Union, this was mainly potato flour and wheat flour, that he joked that maybe people would soon start eating canned pho, which obviously is a heresy. The next year, the party shut down his literary journal, and they made Minh Thuan apologize in public for having written such a frivolous essay. The frame of his essay was that the author was reminiscing about pho while he was outside the country, missing Vietnam. So he used pho as a symbol of Vietnam, but he did so without homogenizing the soup. He mentioned a variety of different ways to prepare pho, including how it was now evolving on the streets of Saigon, where it was new, and he stated how he himself preferred to eat the soup. So he was highlighting the idea that getting into arguments about the best way to make pho is what makes it so Vietnamese, because Vietnamese love to argue about what makes pho. That doesn't make it historically, traditionally Vietnamese, but in that moment in the 1950s, he said he felt so Vietnamese defending his preference in pho against all the other possible ways of making pho. So it's not, there is one pho and everyone must eat the same thing. The Southern administration also got its share of pho-related political criticism during the American War in Vietnam. In 1974, a group of Vietnamese in Paris worked with Georges Boudarel and Alain Fauret to put out a book critiquing the Saigon regime. The book quoted a statement made by Southern President Nguyen Van Thieu after signing the Paris Peace Accords the year before, 1973. Thieu said, "The current ceasefire did not mean that communists could just sit down at the Saigon market and enjoy a bowl of pho." Here, pho serves as a symbol of normal everyday life in Vietnam. The president insisted that any communist who tried to melt into the population and forget the fact that they had been an enemy of the state should be killed on the spot. Il faut les liquider exactement comme nous le faisions auparavant. And his critics were citing the juxtaposition of the image of a bowl of pho and the threat of immediate execution to highlight the president's brutality. Thieu wanted to restrict normal life, such as a bowl of pho, to people who submitted to his regime. his opponents wanted to bring French attention to the everyday violence in the Republic of Vietnam. So these sources let us see how the soup was politicized by opponents to the two different regimes, by Vietnamese people. But alongside this use of pho as a political symbol, it also emerged in Francophone texts as a symbol for the authentic experience of Vietnam. For the Eurasian anthropologist Georges Condominas, pho went beyond an abstract concept and signified his own desire to belong, to feel rooted somewhere. Condominas' father and mother had dated each other over bowls of pho in the 1920s in Haiphong. They were in the colony that was then called Tonkin by the French. Condominas' father was French, but his mother's family was a mix of Portuguese, Chinese, and Vietnamese. So his background left Condominas feeling a little dislocated. In his autobiographical account from 1965, L'Exotique Quotidien, he describes his younger self returning to Hanoi after being away from Vietnam for decades. His Eurasian background made him uncomfortable in French circles in the colony, so he withdrew into just reading in his room, reading the classics in French, which was his first language, his main language. He remembered liking the Madeleine incident in Proust, so he dove back into Swan's Way. And just as Marcel's mother sent off for Madeleines, Condominas sent a servant out for pho, cette soupe tonkinoise. So he could stay curled up in bed, reading Proust and reminiscing about Proust. Yes, it's pho. He put, in French, we can sometimes they put the, what are the two dots called? The umlaut. Yeah. And I take it to mean that when people put the umlaut instead of the circumflex, they're trying to say that they know that it's pho, because they don't have the diacritical yet that they could use the Vietnamese diacritical. So he sent a servant out for the pho, said soupe tonkinoise. He stays curled up in bed, reading Proust, reminiscing about reading Proust earlier, while eating pho and reminiscing about eating pho. His emotional and physical connection with the novel continues as he barely gets out of bed for days. But the only food he mentions is that pho that he ate, that's the first night, that soupe tonkinoise, which is colonial but somehow eternal, reminding him of his infancy in northern Vietnam. It links him to his mother's family, to a country that still felt exotic to him because he'd grown up elsewhere in France, even though he wanted it to feel familiar. He turns to pho as comfort food while reading Proust, which allows him to establish his French colonial authority, even while hiding from the other French people in the colony, while also claiming a partially Vietnamese identity. But unlike Nguyen Thuan, Condominas did not have the expertise to notice subtle variations in pho. He enjoyed the soup as a straightforward, simple experience, like eating a madeleine. And maybe there are pack variations among madeleines, but I don't have the expertise to know that, and Condominas did not have expertise in pho. Other French texts from the period of the American War in Vietnam also used pho to evoke this idea of an authentic Vietnamese experience. In a 1969 novel by best-selling author Guy Ducas, the main character happily orders pho in a Parisian Vietnamese restaurant. This is 1969. Remembering his years in Saigon, he calls it pho with a circumflex and refers to it as that soupe hanoienne de boeuf from Hanoi, to show that the French who were returning to Paris from the south of Vietnam remembered the soup fondly and thought of the soup as one dish, a dish from Hanoi that they encountered in Saigon. By the 1980s, Parisians were more familiar with pho, but not by that name. They had embraced the colonial term la soupe tonkinoise. It's hard to say if Parisians thought much about the soup's origins, but the term, at least, acknowledged the northern origins using that colonial name, Tonkin. Under French imperialism, Vietnam was three colonies, Tonkin in the north, Annam in the center, and Cochinchina in the south. Tonkin was not a real place by the 1980s, so to use that term for the soup places the soup in the past, in some sort of eternal vision of the past. For most people, that may just have been a naive bit of nostalgia, but at least some people should have known better, being familiar with the historical and political issues. The Marxist philosopher and sociologist Pierre Fougerolas wrote his one and only novel in 1982, and in it he had two women who were rivals in love try to mend their friendship in a Vietnamese restaurant near Les Invalides. After enjoying a soupe tonkinoise and some jasmine tea, They no longer hated each other, but were ready to start talking about their politics, their shared politics. So there was a trend in the 1980s and 90s. Authors who had spent time in Vietnam referred to the soup as either pho or pho, but they added a footnote to explain that they were referring to what their readers presumably knew as the soup Tonkinoise. So it would say, little footnote, soup Tonkinoise. By the 1990s, pho was a popular dish across Paris. Restaurant reviewers in Le Monde combined the two terms whenever they wrote about it, writing either pho la soupe Tonkinoise or la soupe Tonkinoise pho. Le Monde also exoticized Vietnamese restaurants, framing them as offering a nostalgic return to an unchanging culinary past. Nous aimons la cuisine vietnamienne comme souvenir et présence d'une cuisine antique qui n'a guère changé, cuisine rustique aux saveurs précieuses que notre ordinaire de table a perdu. La soupe Tonkinoise pho, c'est un bouillon brûlant qui mêle les saveurs de plantes aromatiques, des vermicelles de riz diaphane, un morceau de gingembre, un oignon émincé et quelques lamelles de bœuf. In 1996, Le Monde Review noted that when you walked into a Vietnamese restaurant, you noticed wonderful, unfamiliar flavors, and at the heart, le fameux pho soupe Tonkinoise. So 1996, they're actually getting it pho. And the reviewer added a note to readers explaining that you should in fact pronounce it pho. The journalists had just figured that out, so they wanted to spread the information. It's pho, not pho. And they emphasized how cheap the soup is. Les prix sont dérisoires. By the first decade of the 21st century, some French newspapers begin to refer to pho as Vietnam's soupe nationale, instead of as the soupe Tonkinoise. I should say, for background, this new term is promoted in 1995 by Lê Hữu Khoa, who was then the director of the Centre d'Ethnologie et de Sociologie at the University of Lille. In his writing, he called for la soupe nationale du peuple vietnamien. And he builds on Nguyen Thuan's famous 1957 essay, claiming that that essay represents an authentic Vietnamese response to a totalitarian regime. So that essay, like Pho, is about Vietnamese not wanting to be communist, in Lê Hữu Khoa's representation of it. He represents the soup as national rather than northern, hoping to leach out any communist taint. 2 years later, in 1997, Georges Boudarel and Nguyen Van Ki published a volume called Hanoi, 1936-1996. Unlike the very political project that Boudarel had been involved in 1974, the one where communists were apparently to be executed if they sat down in the marketplace for a bowl of pho, the 1997 volume was lyrical, promoting pho as the typical dish of Vietnam, cette soupe élevée au rang d'institution nationale. Like Lê Hữu Khoa, Boudarel and Nguyen Van Ki were opening a space for a new understanding of pho as Vietnam's national dish, eliminating its older association with the North. In 2001, La Tribune wrote a piece about the Viet Q, the overseas Vietnamese who were returning to Vietnam to help develop the economy there. The story mentioned that one Viet Q had come to open a new chain of pho restaurants across Vietnam, Pho 2000. Re-envisioning pho as a standardized kind of fast food instead of street food, and as a national dish, not as a northern or southern, not with northern and southern variations. La Tribune supported that reinvention, calling for la fameuse soupe de nuit nationale, and the newspaper noted that Bill Clinton had eaten at that chain on his historic visit to Vietnam in 2000. In 2007, L'Express wrote about another successful chain of pho restaurants, Pho 24. The owner reportedly wanted to provide a pho au goût vietnamien qui ne soit ni du nord, ni du sud. Le Monde was also on board. In 2005, Le Monde published a restaurant review raving about le pho, le potesse nationale, at a tiny Vietnamese restaurant in the 15th arrondissement. And in 2013, Le Monde referred to pho as le plat national vietnamien. That adjective nationale refers to a supposedly uncontroversial Vietnamese nation papering over any and all remaining issues between France and its former colony, between the northern and the southern regions of Vietnam, between the Vietnamese who stayed behind and the ones who had fled, between the Vietnamese state and its various minority populations, including the Chinese. With this new adjective national, pho loses its resonances of being part of being a colonial product and takes on a cosmopolitan flavor, becoming to the French a sanitized symbol of France's openness to global foodways. Kind of like the couscous thing. It has to be foreign, it has to be from another nation, so that when we eat it, we're being cosmopolitan. Only Le Figaro held out. In 2007, 2009, and 2011, Figaro referred to the dish as soupe tonkinoise without even a little footnote or anything to call it pho. So I guess their readers know what it's called. It's soupe tonkinoise. In most other publications, soupe tonkinoise becomes an old-fashioned term. On the other hand, the colonial perspective is still not completely gone. It's still kind of hanging around. 2013, Le Monde wrote a feature story about the centenary of pho, 100 years of pho, recognizing that it did have a specific history tied to the French presence in the region. But the explanation dances around the issue of the dish's invention. It relies heavily on the world-famous French chef, Didier Corlu, who used to run the kitchen at the Hotel Metropole in Hanoi. He declared that pho is vietnamien avec une influence française, and that its name might come from the similarity with the pot-au-feu. So he revives that idea. Corlu went on to promote his upscale versions of pho served with salmon or with foie gras. And he said, on ne peut pas mettre le pho au musée. So French people, French chefs are needed to make sure that pho stays vibrant and exciting. The whole article gives the impression that the French had a big role in creating pho, and that French chefs are keeping it vibrant. In 2014, Le Monde profiled the Franco-Vietnamese chef Robert Vifian, who opened his Tan Dinh restaurant in the Paris Latin Quarter in 1968. The story mentioned one would come away satisfied after a bowl of pho and described the dish as coming from the port de Nam Dinh, très fréquenté par les Chinois et les Français. Cette soupe est naturellement née de la rencontre entre la soupe de nouilles chinoise et le pot-au-feu français. So the Vietnamese are completely erased from the invention of pho. It's somehow a natural marriage between a natural offspring of Chinese and French dishes, and we don't see the Vietnamese at all. I'm finishing here with a more promising approach from Nguyen Xuan Hien, who is one of the rare people who manages to discuss pho in French without essentializing the soup. He notices, he writes, at the turn of the 21st century, he notices there are thousands of pho shops in Hanoi. Aucun pho ne ressemble aux autres. L'art de la cuisine est plutôt une habileté personnelle qu'une pratique collective, voire régionale ou nationale. On voit bien la place éminente de la créativité personnelle. So he doesn't treat Vietnam's homegrown cooks as unthinking followers of timeless traditions, just making pho the way their ancestors have always made pho. He proposes instead that we grant them the same level of imagination and ingenuity that their predecessors showed when they created pho 100 years ago. As new chains of pho emerge, spread around the world, one can appreciate the business innovations of their corporate owners while still cherishing the countless creative variations of pho, which one can find in cities from Saigon to San Jose and from Hanoi to Paris. Thank you.